Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Good evening, this is Jay Jackson. From the heart of New York's glittering Broadway, the makers of Hallmark cards present And So They Married, starring Peter Lawford. Tonight we have a gay, light-hearted story for you about a surprising marriage that had London society buzzing with gossip many years ago. To play the part of our hero, an engaging and ambitious young man, we have that young Londoner and one of Hollywood's most promising and popular stars, Peter Lawford. Welcome to our program, Peter.
Thank you. It's good to be with you again.
Again?
Well, I thought... when were you on the...
Well, you see, I've heard your program also and even imagined myself in some of the parts, so I rather feel that I belong.
Oh, well, we're glad you do. In that case, we'll give you the password so you'll always be able to get back in here.
Oh, I know that, too. Those three words, a Hallmark card, tell your friends you care enough to send the very best.
Mr. Lawford, we welcome you as a lifetime member of our Hallmark Society. Now, let's take our audience to Amsterdam, where an earnest, ambitious young man named Pierre works as a minor clerk in a banking house. Ladies and gentlemen, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you on the Reader's Digest radio edition a wonderful story of real life, And So They Married, starring Peter Lawford. Sound is Mr. Hope writing. And that sound is Mr. Hope swearing. And the reason he's angry is that the quill pen he's using is not sharp. Yes, quill pen, for this scene takes place very long ago in Amsterdam, where Mr. Hope has the principal banking firm. You'd think a big banking firm could get its pen sharpened.
You'd think a big banking firm could get its pen sharpened? Pierre!
Yes, Mr. Hope?
You call this a sharp pen?
Well, I'll have it sharpened, Mr. Hope. But meanwhile, you can try mine.
Thank you. But don't go right away.
Oh, I wasn't going to go, sir.
No, you weren't?
No, you may remember I never miss an opportunity, Mr. Hope, when I have your ear, so to speak. I never miss an opportunity, I say, to discuss business.
Business, eh?
Yes, sir. I'm a young man. I'm learning. And I hope that I can say I'm, on the way up. And I find it valuable to talk to you, a man so mature, so wise in the ways of business as yourself. As much to teach a novice like myself.
Oh, Pierre!
Yes, Mr. Hope?
Your pen is dull, too.
Oh, I'm very sorry, sir. I'll have it sharpened along with yours. Mr. Hope.
Well?
Don't you agree with me?
About what?
Well, it's valuable for me to talk with you, that a man of your experience can teach me so much.
Well, somebody teaches you how to sharpen pens.
Yes, but I mean about business. You see, I'm very ambitious, Mr. Hope.
No, you are.
Yes, sir. I want to rise in this world. I want to have money. I want to have an office of my own like you. I want the power that comes from being a great man of business like you. I want to be able to shout at people when they don't sharpen my pen.
But what are you saying?
I'm sorry, sir. I mean, of course, that I want to be in a position to ask people politely to sharpen my pen. Quite politely, of course.
Young man, are you criticizing me?
Oh, no, Mr. Hope. How can I criticize you when I was about to ask you to... When I get a promotion.
You? A promotion? Why would you want a promotion?
Why, it might be that I'd want to get married.
The girl you marry will be most unfortunate because you will never get a promotion from me.
Why not?
You're a clerk here. You have duties. You're supposed to keep the inkwells filled. They're always dry. You're supposed to keep the pen sharpened. They're always dull. You're supposed to empty the wastebasket. They're always overflowing. You will never be a good banker.
Mr. Hope, I will be a good banker. I'm capable right now of being a good banker. When I fail to empty a wastebasket or to fill an inkwell, it's because I'm sitting at my little desk out there, planning how to attract new customers.
Ah, dream it!
Now, look at this, Mr. Hope, right here in my pocket. I've got a plan that I've evolved. You see, look, here I have a list of the people who use our facilities, but not exclusively. Now, to win that portion of their business, which they do not give to us...
I have no time to listen to the schemes and dreams of office boys.
Oh, very well, Mr. Hope, I'll go.
No, I told you I wanted you to stay here. I have an errand for you to do.
In the city?
No, not even in this country. Across the channel, in England, in London.
Oh, no, Mr. Hope, not Sir Francis Baring again.
Young man, Sir Francis Baring is one of the most important men in England.
Yes, sir, but he gives you very little business, and you give him far too much service in return.
And you want a promotion. Don't you know that I give him that service in order to eventually win more service from him?
Yes, sir, but the records tell me that you've been doing that for more than 10 years now, and what have you gained by it?
Young man, I will not have you argue with me or question my business methods. You're going to London. You will deliver this letter to Sir Francis Baring's servant.
Why is it that I can never speak to Sir Francis himself?
Because no one but a partner in my banking firm will ever speak to Sir Francis. He's too important a man. Now then, if I can ever get hold of a sharp pen, I will finish this letter, and you will take it to London whether you wish to or not, and deliver it with some securities to the servant of Sir Francis.
It's you, all the way from Amsterdam.
How are you, Mortimer? I have some securities and a letter for Sir Francis.
Come in.
Thank you.
I don't suppose you're to see Sir Francis personally.
Oh, no, Mortimer, I'm still just a flunky. I'm not important enough to see or to be seen by Sir Francis Baring. You'll have to take these things yourself as usual and, of course, give me a receipt.
Of course.
Mortimer, is there anything you're looking for? Oh.
This man is from Amsterdam, Miss Baring, with a message for your father.
Well, don't let me interrupt you.
Thank you, m'lady. Mortimer, if you deliver his securities to Sir Francis and bring me a receipt.
Of course. I don't think I'll be long.
Oh, darling.
Oh, dear, darling, I've waited so long.
I know. Oh, it's wonderful to hold you in my arms.
Why can't you ask that Mr. Hope to send you to England more often?
Oh, because they'd suspect something. This sort of errand is not supposed to be fun, exactly. I have to pretend that I hate coming here.
Well, I wish you'd never leave.
I'll take you with me.
Oh, take me with you?
Eleanor.
Yes, darling.
Do you love me, Eleanor?
Oh, of course I do, Pierre.
But I mean deeply. I mean, do you love me enough so that you'd come back with me to Amsterdam? So that you would marry me?
Yes, Pierre. You know I wanted to marry you ever since the first time you came here when you were so bold.
Yes, but I told you to be married when I got a promotion. And Eleanor, Mr. Hope has told me that he will never promote me.
But I don't care.
I do. I still do. But we're going to marry Eleanor anyhow. I've got an idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think I know I can get a promotion in spite of Mr. Hope.
How?
Well, you see, Eleanor, I'll have to ask your father's permission to marry.
No, he'd never give you permission. We'll have to elope.
Well, I'm not going to let you elope with a pauper. Even when I'm the pauper.
But, darling, you said Mr. Hope won't promote you, so...
Now, darling, you leave this to me. I'm going to see your father.
No.
Oh, everything will be all right when I've seen him. I'll handle this, darling.
I'm sorry I was delayed, Pierre. Here's the receipt.
Oh, thank you.
Could I help you locate a hansom cab?
No, Mortimer. I'm going to see Sir Francis after all. Conduct me to him, please.
You may leave this young man alone with me, Mortimer.
Yes, Sir Francis.
Well, young man, so you're from the House of Hope.
Yes, sir.
An excellent firm. My daughter and I are going to pay a visit to Mr. Hope in Amsterdam. We're sailing across the channel tomorrow.
What? Well, she didn't tell me.
She doesn't know it yet. Say, just a moment. Why should my daughter tell you if she did know?
Well, I was just talking to her, Sir Francis.
Indeed.
I know Eleanor quite well, Sir Francis.
Well enough to call her Eleanor instead of Miss Baring?
Exactly.
I see.
I know her extremely well, Sir Francis. That's why I asked to see you.
Oh, go ahead.
Eleanor and I are in love, Sir Francis.
Well?
Well, what?
Well, you say you're in love. I say, well, meaning, what of it? I can understand you're being in love. You're both young, you're both good-looking, you're both healthy. So, you're in love.
I'm glad you take it this way, Sir Francis.
Yes, don't forget that I still have a question unanswered. What of it?
Why, naturally, Eleanor and I want to get married.
Oh, yes, but that's a non-essential.
Well, not to know that Eleanor and me isn't.
But to me, it is, and I'm the one most concerned in this matter. It's my daughter you're asking for. It's my consent you'll have to get. It's possible that it's my money you really want.
Oh, no, sir.
Yes, well, let's see now. How long have you been with Mr. Hope?
Nearly 2 years.
What was your salary to start with?
In English currency, £20 a month.
And what is your salary now?
£20 a month.
I see. And do you consider this enough for my son-in-law?
No, I don't consider it enough for Eleanor's husband.
And how did you propose to get more?
I thought I might get promoted, sir.
If Hope has not promoted you in 2 years, he'll never promote you.
No, sir, I...
Don't belter me. It's quite obvious that you intend to provide for yourself and for my daughter out of my funds. That's not what I raised Eleanor for.
That's not what I intend either, Sir Francis. I'm a good banker and a
banker, are you? At £20 a month. Tell me, young man, just what is your position with a house of Hope?
I'm a clerk.
A clerk? I thought so. Don't call yourself a banker when you're just a clerk. Imagine my daughter married to a clerk.
I suppose it would make a difference if I were a partner in the House of Hope.
Oh, my dear young man, of course it would.
And all you have against me is that I'm a clerk.
Correct. Why, if you were a partner, I'd gladly consent to the marriage. You're dealing with a very materialistic young man, fellow.
I can see that.
That's how I happen to be so wealthy. Now, let there be no misunderstanding. You may be a fine person, but so long as you want to marry my daughter, you and I are enemies. Now, keep away from her. Leave her alone, or I'll turn the police or the dogs on you. Or both. Now, get out.
In a moment, we'll continue with tonight's story about an ambitious young man from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine, presented to you by the makers of Hallmark Cards, America's favorite greeting cards. But first, I'd like to tell you about another young man who established a record of accomplishment equaled by few men in all history. At the age of 8, Johann Mattheson played the organ in several churches in Germany. At 12, he had mastered the harp, the violin, the flute, and the oboe. By the time he was 18, he had studied law, learned to speak English, French, and Italian, sang leading parts in the opera, and even produced one of his own. When he was 22, he became secretary of a British legation. Yet, despite his amazing industry, he had the burning ambition to write a book for each year he lived. When he died at the age of 83, he had written 88 books on music, philosophy, and science. Johann Mattheson gave proof to the world that it is possible to do many things well. The makers of Hallmark cards know this, too, for they have spent more than a third of a century making greeting cards for an almost limitless variety of needs, for all kinds of people, for all kinds of occasions. And into every single card, these Hallmark folks put careful thought and warm understanding. You see, they feel they're not making just cards. They're making Hallmark cards. Cards that will express your friendliness, your joys, your sympathies. That's why Hallmark cards are America's favorite greeting cards. That's why you'll always find a Hallmark card to say just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. Now our program continues with Act Two of And So They Married, starring Peter Lawford. We're on a ship crossing the English Channel. It's a rough voyage, but that does not prevent three of the passengers from being out of deck. That's Sir Francis Barry, riding along the pitching deck, calling to his daughter. His daughter is right in the center of the deck, and she isn't sliding the pitching at all. Perhaps that's because Pierre holds her very steady and very, very close.
Oh, darling.
Oh, you should never have gone to see my father.
Well, I had to.
Yes, we'll never get married now.
Yes, we will, darling. You leave it to me.
Yes, you said that before, and then Father had three servants throw you out of the house.
Darling, let's not talk. This time together, this crossing of the channel.
If we have, if Father doesn't catch us.
Eleanor!
There he is.
He doesn't see us, though.
Good. Look how he's slipping and sliding.
Poor Father.
Well, you ought to have sense enough to stay in the center of the ship the way we do.
Eleanor!
He should.
I hope he does.
What?
I mean it. In the first place, he ought to get used to our being together.
Isn't he going to get anything together these seasons?
And in the second place, it'll be a good lesson to you. You'll see how I'm able to make capital out of adversity. You'll learn to stop doubting me when I say everything's going to be all right.
Darling.
Yes?
Don't be serious, and don't frown, and don't make orations.
All right. I'll tell you how it's going to be when we're married.
Yes, you tell me that.
Well, of course, marriage is a very dignified institution.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to be a dignified man as soon as I'm married.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first thing I'll do is raise a full beard.
Mm.
Well, then the first thing I'll do is to get a divorce. You know how I picture our marriage?
How?
Well, I won't be rich anymore. So we'll have a very humble dwelling in Amsterdam. There are more than 7 or 8 rooms.
Well, I wish I could afford something that humble.
No, there aren't. I'll sit and sew patches in my petticoats and patches in your trousers. And oh, I'll learn how to darn your socks. I'm pretty good with a needle, you know. Oh, you're lucky to have found me instead of a girl who can't do anything.
Are you good at dusting? Are you good at washing and wiping dishes? Are you good at cooking?
Oh, no, but then what are the maids to cook for?
Darling, I think time has come, now that you're as old as you are, for me to tell you a few of the facts of life.
Yes, go ahead, darling.
Well, first of all, a modest humble dwelling, as you call it, would be one room.
Oh, you're joking.
No, one room. That's where you'd eat, sleep, take cards, entertain visitors, wash, and try to find a little privacy. So much for the humble dwelling. Now, as to the maids and the cook, people who live in humble dwellings don't have maids and cooks.
I see.
Do you?
Yes. Darling.
Yes?
Do you know how to cook?
Why?
Well, I shall want someone to teach me.
You never waver, do you?
No, I never waver, darling.
Oh, I love you more now than ever.
Ask me to marry you.
Will you marry me?
Yes. Any time you say. One room, no money. Oh, any time you say, darling.
Eleanor.
Yes?
You don't doubt me, do you? You know I love you.
Of course.
And that's why everything's so good between us, isn't it? Knowing, being sure.
Yes, Pierre.
Well, darling, believe me, that's the way I want it to be always. If I let you marry me now, you'd never know. You'd never ever be sure again. The doubt would creep in. And finally, darling, that doubt would be a big, monstrous, ugly, grinning thing standing between you and me.
Darling, no, what doubt could there be?
The doubt as to why I married you. That's why, Eleanor, I'm never going to marry you until I can give you as much as even your father would expect.
Oh, Pierre, you're so wonderful, but... oh, it's so impossible.
Eleanor!
Good heavens, he's seen us.
Fine.
Oh, so, Eleanor, this is how you obey me.
Wait right here, darling. Oh, Sir Francis, here, give me your arm. You're unsteady.
You keep away from my daughter, you pauper.
Of course. Now, just give me your arm, Sir Francis.
I am unsteady.
Yes, you're not a very good sailor, that's all. Come on, now, we walk about the deck.
I want my daughter.
No, you don't, Sir Francis. You just want her not to be with me. Well, she isn't with me now, is she?
There's something in that, of course.
Come on, now, I'll teach you how to be a better sailor. Here you are. Now, just put one foot down after the other.
Well, I can't get the hang of it.
You will. The trick is not to watch your feet. Look up.
Up like this?
That's fine. Now walk.
My feet always strike the deck either before or after I expect them to.
Now, the trick is to look at the horizon. You see? See the horizon? It's up there. Oops. No. Now it's down there. Down. Up. Down. Up. You'll get used to it.
Oh, and I feel awful.
Look at the horizon.
Oh, I want to die.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Stuart, I do believe Sir Francis is sick.
Oh, yes, I want to die.
Take him to his stateroom, Stuart, will you?
Oh, certainly, sir.
Yes, stateroom. I want to die.
Pierre, what's happened?
Oh, nothing. I just got rid of your father. Kiss me, darling.
Yes, Pierre.
Why you wanted to come along with me, Eleanor, to see a business establishment.
You know why, Father. This is the House of Hope. Pierre works here. I wanted to see
you. Yes, hang it, I know that, but you don't have to be so indelicate as to mention it. In my day, we taught young girls to lie like ladies. Well, here we are. All right, young man, will you kindly tell Mr. Hope that Sir Francis Baring is here to... Oh, it's you.
Yes, Sir Francis, it is I. Hello, darling.
Hello, darling.
That'll be enough of that, both of you. Now then, Pierre, or whatever your name is.
It is Pierre, Daddy. I keep telling you.
Yes, well, Pierre, then. Have you told Mr. Hope that I might be to see him today?
No, Sir Francis. Mr. Hope got in just a few minutes before you did. I haven't had a chance yet even to report to him about my trip to England.
I'll save you the trouble. I have a few things to report to him about your trip to England, young man.
Now, Daddy, please. Pierre can't help loving me.
Will you kindly stop referring to that indecent emotion?
Excuse me, Sir Francis and Eleanor. I'll go to see if Mr. Hope is at liberty yet. Can you see me now, Mr. Hope?
Yes, come in, come in.
Thank you, sir.
Well, what do you want?
Well, first I thought I'd report on my trip to England.
Report. You got there?
Yes, sir.
You delivered the securities?
Yes, sir.
And the letter?
Yes, sir.
You got a receipt?
Yes, sir.
You brought it back?
Yes, sir.
You filed it?
Yes, Mr. Hope.
Well, that's all the report I need.
Yes, sir.
You may go.
Well, there's one more thing, Mr. Hope.
Well?
I was wondering if I could have a promotion.
You asked me that before, Pierre, and I gave you your answer. No. Not now. Not ever.
I see. Well, I suppose I'll have to take our business to some other banking firm.
Our business?
Yes, you see, Mr. Hope, I'm about to marry the daughter of Sir Francis Baring.
What?
Exactly. I'm afraid if I can't get a promotion in your little shop...
You're joking.
Am I? Here, I'll open the door a crack. Look out there at my little desk. See?
By Jove, it is Sir Francis.
Now then, Mr. Hope.
My boy, what do you want?
A partnership.
You can deliver Sir Francis' business.
If I'm a partner in this firm, yes.
You are a partner, beginning right now.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hope. Now I'll go and see if Sir Francis will come in and talk to you for a little while.
Wait a minute.
Yes?
Don't tell him that I know you're marrying his daughter. I want him to think that I made you a partner without any, consideration.
Oh, don't worry, Mr. Hope. Wait here.
Well, is Mr. Hope ready to receive me?
Nearly ready, Sir Francis. Eleanor.
Yes, darling?
Kiss me.
What's this?
Of course, darling.
Young man, you take your hands off my daughter.
No, no, sir. I'm going to take your daughter off your hands.
What's the meaning of this?
Sir Francis, didn't you tell me once back in London that if I were a partner in the House of Hope, you would be very happy to let Eleanor marry me?
Yes, but...
Well, I've just been made a partner.
Darling!
And I expect you to keep your word, Sir Francis.
Is this true?
Would I be likely to lie when in a moment you'll be able to check with Mr. Hope himself?
Well, then, blessings on both of you. You may marry.
Oh, darling.
Well, I told you never to doubt me, Eleanor.
Oh, I never will again.
Pierre, my son.
Yes, Father?
Let's not tell Mr. Hope that I know about the partnership.
Oh, of course not.
Frankly, son, I want him to think that I gave permission for this marriage because I recognized your sterling virtues myself.
Oh, I understand. Would you care to go in to see Mr. Hope now?
So by all means.
Come along, Eleanor. Mr. Hope, may I present Miss Eleanor Baring and her father, Sir Francis?
How do you do? How do you do? Sit down, won't you?
Oh, thank you. Well, this is a bright, bright fellow you have working for you, Mr. Hope.
Pierre? Oh, finest employee I ever had. As a matter of fact, I have just been able to do something very nice for Pierre.
Oh, well, I have too. I have too.
Oh, really? Well, let me tell you what I did first.
Oh, no. I want to.
But I insist.
Just a moment, gentlemen. Would you mind if Miss Eleanor and I left you?
Why, of course not. Not at all.
It's been very nice meeting you, Mr. Hope.
Yes, Sir Francis. From the very first day Pierre came to work for me, I said, there's a young man that's going to get ahead in the world.
Yes, when I first laid eyes on Pierre, I knew he was a fine, upstanding boy.
So I'll tell you what I've done.
Let me tell you what I have done.
darling, how did you ever manage this?
Well, it was very simple. I made both of them look at the horizon until now they're a little seasick. Come on, my sweet, I'm going to take the day off. Let my underlings do the work.
Thank you, Peter Lawford. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, Peter Lawford will return. First, I'd like to tell you how easy it is to make a big hit with some child you love. And it's just as easy as this. Send your little friend a Hallmark doll, one of those wondrous, colorful greeting cards that is a doll. They actually stand. And inside, your little friend will be delighted with the stories told in verse. Get one of the Hallmark dolls, Cinderella, Red Riding Hood, or any one of those people from the land of make-believe. They're only 25 cents,
and any of the fine stores that carry Hallmark cards will have them. So just for the fun of giving, make some child happy tomorrow. Send a Hallmark doll. And now, here's Peter Lawford again. Thanks, Peter, for a swell performance. It was a great show.
Well, it was a great lesson to me. As a bachelor, I never knew it was so easy to get both the girl and the job.
Now, don't tell me you have any trouble.
Not exactly, but I can tell you how to say no in an awful lot of languages.
Well, Peter, you listen in next week to the Hallmark program. We have the answer for you.
Well, you interest me, Jay. Who plays the leading role?
One of Hollywood's loveliest, Anne Rutherford.
Well, that's enough for me. I'll be listening.
Join us next Thursday night, ladies and gentlemen, when the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you another wonderful true life story entitled Spin the Silver Dollar. The star, lovely Anne Rutherford. Arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, soon to release Frank Capra's State of the Union, starring Spencer Tracy, Katharine Hepburn, and Van Johnson. In tonight's story, Peter Lawford was supported by Kathleen Cordell in the role of Eleanor, with Everett Sloan as Hope, and Charles Penman as Baring. And So They Married was dramatized by Robert Sanadella, and was based on the story by Hesketh Pearson, as it appeared in the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Loeb, with music especially composed by Jack Miller. To be doubly sure of the finest quality, always look on the back of your cards for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Hallmark cards are sold only in stores that have been carefully selected to give you expert and friendly service. Remember Hallmark cards when you care enough to send the very best. And remember this, too. Americans fear cancer more than any other disease. But this killer can and will be stopped if we get together and attack it on every front. The American Cancer Society, through its threefold program of education, service, and research, is putting up a relentless fight to conquer cancer once and for all. But they need our support to carry on this vital work. Let's all give generously to the American Cancer Society's drive for funds. Give more than before. Now, this is Jim Jackson saying goodnight to you all until next week at the same time, when our story will be Spin the Silver Dollar, starring Anne Rutherford. Other stars soon to appear on your Hallmark program include Franchot Tone, Ralph Bellamy, and Anne Blythe.
This is CNBC, Kansas City, Missouri.